That's the sound of people throwing out their old dehumidifiers. They've replaced them with the energy-saving Wave Ventilation Unit. Wave Ventilation expels moisture, gases, and toxins trapped in your basement or crawl space and replaces it with drier, fresher air. The computerized Wave Ventilation requires no maintenance. There are no buckets to empty, no filters to change. And compared to a dehumidifier, it will save you hundreds of dollars a year in energy costs. One customer wrote,
I was stunned by the difference. I had had a dehumidifier for almost 20 years without ever getting rid of that musty smell. And now that smell is finally gone.
Wave can transform your home into a drier, healthier environment. Satisfaction guaranteed. Find out more about Wave Ventilation right now.
For free information, go to goodairnow.com. That's goodairnow.com. Or call 1-866-324-9481. That's 1-866-324-9481.
Blog Talk Radio.
Okay, well, no intro today as I have my guests on the line. Hello, John.
Hi, how you doing?
I'm doing very well. It's a lot better than having all these technical problems.
Yeah, that's very true.
So thank you so much. I'm with John Seidel is the correct way to pronounce it, right? Correct?
It's Seidel. It's a German. I learned in my high school German class, the first vowel does the walking, the second vowel does the talking. So any German speakers out there know what I'm talking about.
Well, good to know, and I'll definitely archive that in my mind because I do come across quite a few more Germans than people would imagine, and you never want to mess up somebody's name as I just butchered yours. So I apologize.
Well, you know, I couldn't pronounce your last name to save my life, so.
Okay, so we're even then. Deal?
Yeah, that's right. Deal.
So I'm with Jonathan Seidel, assistant editor at The Blaze. The Blaze is phenomenal at just pushing out all the news that you don't see on your mainstream, old-stream media, and a lot of the stuff that Glenn Beck actually features on the show, being that this is one of his products. You're also a Green Bay Packers fan. I want to note that and say congratulations. Is this nearing a Brett Favre over yet or no?
It's died down a little bit. You know, I moved to New York, so it was actually kind of tough. One of my first little bit of time in New York was when Brett Favre was playing here. And now we know doing other things here. So, you know, that was kind of a slap in the face. But it's gotten better, I should say.
Okay. Well, I'm glad that that you guys won. Of course, I have Aaron Rodgers on all four of my fantasy football teams. And I've had him there for a few years, so I'm not letting him go. Everyone tries to get me to trade him. I say, unless you want to give me your whole team, I don't think he's moving. So great stuff and a great season for you guys. So now on to something a little more depressing and go through the world of politics. You like I mentioned before, The Blaze just really pumps out a lot of stuff, a lot of content rich. I love sites like that. I don't like stuff that redirects you to all these different pages, although Drudge Report is great. But I like everything all in one. I like having analysis, and I like having the facts all in one shot. And it's great to have a source such as The Blaze. Tell me how The Blaze came together, because I was surprised by it. I thought I was I watched Glenn Beck almost religiously, which I guess would be getting persecuted in some parts of New York, but I didn't know that he was working on something like this. Tell us how the whole Blaze project came together.
Well, you know, Glenn is very he's a vision oriented person. So, you know, I think some people who have had the chance to see his documentary about 828. You know, they'll kind of get a sense for this. You know, he'll get an idea that to many people and to many people around him will seemingly come out of the blue, but maybe, you know, grounded in some other, you know, long form ideas that he's been mulling around. I think The Blaze was one of those. You know, he had been wanting an information network. You know, we kind of shy away from calling it a straight news site because we're not. You know, we're more of an information network. And so I think he wanted something that was going to be, you know, different than anything anyone had seen. It wasn't necessarily a straight news site. It wasn't necessarily an aggregator, which is what we refer to Drudge as being. And so it was kind of a hybrid, you know, and that did serious pieces, that did funny pieces, that did, you know, your viral video hits, but then also talked about faith and politics. And so so last summer he had kind of started talking about that. He got in touch with my boss, Scott Baker, who's editor-in-chief, who has had just an amazing career in television. Was people listening in Pittsburgh will know that he was your newsman in Pittsburgh for a long time. And then he started getting to the internet stuff. And so Scott kind of took it and ran with it. I heard about it through a mutual contact. And he actually hired me away from a different company, and here we are.
Gotta love those poachers, right?
Yeah, right.
So the Blaze is growing. I see every day you guys are adding different things, and obviously the site just keeps growing in content. Now, what do you like reporting on or blogging most? Because it's more of a blogging aggregation site, and I'm glad that you mentioned that it's an aggregator. It's kind of a hybrid of not just your standard aggregation site, but it's kind of a mixture. What do you personally like reporting on the most, and what do you like reporting on the least?
I love local stories. We have some capabilities where we can, we can sift through local news reports and whatnot. But I think there's just so much, there's such rich information that's happening in individual communities. So I'll kind of answer both questions by, in this is I love reporting on the local news. And I actually am not, I'm not crazy about, reporting on the news that everyone else is reporting on. You can have a big story that hits, oil is, down to $100. Well, everyone's reporting on oil being at $100, but not everyone is reporting about, the man that, pulled a pistol on police and the dash cam caught the man, firing at police. That's interesting. And then even some of the inspiring stories that are happening, obviously, in local communities. So I really enjoy local community stories and love it when people send those to me. I remember someone sending a story about this girl who had brought a paring knife to school and, was kicked out of school for that, And, no one else was reporting on that, but we got that story and it became big and it was – it spoke to some bigger issues. I love the local stories that speak to bigger issues, and I think people take a lot of ownership when they see maybe it's not their local community, but they can definitely identify with that.
Now, I always took the same route when I started my radio thing, and I had a different vision, an entrepreneurial vision. Obviously, I'm on online radio, but I hope to be on the broadcast side. But I want to deliver a different kind of message, and if people watch, look at when I do my shows and what topics I talk about, I'm really not following the typical media line, which is, as you mentioned before, oil prices are down, why are they down, this is down, everybody panic, everybody celebrate, everybody do this, pop champagne,
right,
all that kind of stuff. I don't follow that path because I think that those are just distractions because a lot of people are talking about it doesn't mean that that's what we should be talking about. It just means that it's a distraction, much as, the debt limit debate and the government shutdown, all the kind of stuff we were talking about. A city park closing. Well, how many people go to city parks anyway? Is that really the biggest problem that we have when literally we're staring at mountains of debt? So things like that really ticked me off for a while. So I started doing the show and having great guests such as yourself on really kind of emphasizes my point that there's so much more to talk about than the regular script that everybody else is talking about day to day. And, so far I've been successful with that.
Right.
Glenn Beck has also taken a different course. I don't want to talk too much about him. I want to focus more on what you're doing at the Blaze. But he's been, maybe crucified might be the wrong word, but he has been kind of crucified by people, even from his own ranks on the conservative and the Republican side. Obviously, liberals do not like him. But he's been labeled so many different things over the years. He just keeps plowing through it and making his way through because there's something in his message. What do you think that something is?
Well, Glenn, you kind of look back to 828, and I think, Glenn gets skewered a lot for, whether it's, conspiracy theories or end-of-the-world stuff, which anyone who listens to him and really understands what he's saying knows that that's not true. But, that's kind of what the media picks up on. But if you you look back at like 828, for example, the rally he held in D.C., you know, Glenn's message is actually one of hope. He took a surprise trip to Israel this past weekend, and you know, there's a story that we posted on the Blaze this afternoon, and he gave a message from the Garden Tomb. You know, one of the places that some say, you know, Jesus spent his final moments and was buried and whatnot. It was a message really of you know, a call to a better America, and a call to a better Americans. And I think, you know, that resonates with people, and it should resonate with people. You know, even, you know, I think he called one of his tours at one time the American Revival Tour. You know, it's something about calling us to be better, and people know that that's possible. And I think, you know, really, on a larger scale, you look at like the Tea Party movement, and I think that's what that's really all about. It's, you know, Americans saying, listen, we're not the progressive nation that we've been painted and told that we need to be. You know, over these last so many years, you know, we are actually an America that believes in the Constitution and you know, believes in these founding principles. And I think, and that's really what Glenn's talking about, is these founding principles that are found in, you know, a lot of times in faith, which is a big part of his message. And so I think, you know, listen, it might not resonate with, you know, I'm in New York City. It might not resonate with the person walking down Fifth Avenue in Manhattan, but I tell you what, it resonates with people in every other part of the world, or excuse me, in the country. You know, the people in Texas, and people in Wisconsin, you know, and the people in Nebraska. And so I think that's important in what people are picking up on.
Right. Now, I'm not here to do a Glenn Beck kind of like support team here, because I think he does a well enough job supporting himself by his predictions coming true, and obviously surrounding himself with people such as yourself. But he, you know, the people that do not like him, that have experiences with this, my father's had experiences with it, you know, he's in a union job, and obviously, you know, the rest is history with unions, but we've all talked to people, and they say, you listen to Glenn Beck, you watch Glenn Beck, what's wrong with you, all these kinds of things, and I said, have you ever watched him? No, but, you know, guys like Keith Olbermann don't like his daughter like him. Okay, well, it literally, if you get your talking points and you get your walking points from, like somebody like Keith Olbermann, you should just shut your TV down and just stare at the wall. I mean, that's the way I see it, because, I mean, there's nobody that spews more vile than him. I mean, just my opinion, and my opinions are my own. I'm allowed to have them. But I want to get to talking about the Blaze again. You guys continue to expand, and it's not been around. I don't think it's been a full year yet. You continue to expand. You're adding great people like Billy Hallowell. He's actually a buddy of mine. I met him through, you know, politics is kind of an interesting field where, you know, everybody, once you meet certain people, so certain people know certain people, and everybody knows everybody. And I was able to, you know, be friends with him, and he's just joining your staff. I think May 19th he's coming on board.
Right.
Not to take away from your side of the site, but, you know, it's interesting to see what he's going to be reporting on. What do the next 6 months hold for John Seidel and the Blaze? Let's start with for you first, and let's go with the Blaze second, unless it goes hand in hand.
Well, you know, I'm pretty focused on eventual world domination, and I think that's what's going to happen.
Me too.
You know, for me personally, I mean, listen, my wife and I talk about this a lot, is that, I feel like I'm in my dream job, you know, so, you know, I don't necessarily see, you know, my role or what I'm doing, I should say, changing much. Listen, I'm always going to be kind of that hybrid news aggregator, news writer type person, and you know, it's just something that's, In all my years of college and afterwards, this is what I envision myself doing. So for me personally, I see myself just plugging away, and that's really what's made the Blaze popular. Is that, you know, we're a small team. You know, when we started out, there's four of us, and we're not you know, we're all pitching in. We're helping on the weekends. We're helping here. We're helping there, because we're just all really love what we do. And so that's what I think is partly what has made us, you know, a successful site. And most importantly, you know, obviously our readers who, Glenn's readers are just, Glenn's fans and then who've turned into our readers are just amazing. The site, I kind of see, you know, hopefully continued growth. there are some exciting things, I think, on the horizon. You know, I'll kind of pull a Glenn here. You know, Glenn a lot of times will tease upcoming things without really saying much, and so that's the only thing I can really do at this point. But you know, every time I see Glenn in the halls, he's like, you know, he looks at me and he says, you know, we got some great things coming up. And so that's kind of what I'll have to say. I can't get into specifics, but I think, you know, the Blaze that people know and love and have come to know and love is going to stay. But I think there'll be more bells and whistles. You know, there'll be more things to play with. Is a good way to put it.
Well, I'm just going to have to waterboard you, I guess, to get that information out of you.
Yeah, righty. Well, you know, as Chris Matthews just suggested, it's what Dick Cheney should do to Karl Rove.
Yeah. Well, again, Chris Matthews not one of those people we should be taking much into. Actually, a colleague of mine says he likes him simply because he's Irish, and I immediately ended the conversation. I told him not to speak to me anymore, just because I like substance, and I like the idea of substance, and if you like someone because they're Irish, well, then I guess I don't know where we'd be as a world if we just like people because of one certain attribute. I don't know. But when you see things, I mean, I've had Andrew Breitbart on my show a few weeks back, and I'm not going to try to quibble about the supposed feud or anything like that. That's, you know, it's not what I do. But I asked him a question about, you know, he loves to agitate the left, you know, the Daily Kosas, Eric Bolas, all these different types of guys. And I know he has trouble sleeping at night because he just wants to send out that one more tweet, that one more post, that one more anything that can just get someone all riled up. Do you feel like, you know, when you're sleeping in the middle of the night, do you wake up at times and say, you know what, I got to see what's on TV right now, I got to see what's on the news or something like that, and say, I got to report on it, or do you just, is it just strictly professional for you?
No, you know, it's kind of funny, I used to be, before I took this job, and my wife can attest to this, I'm the type of person that my head hits the pillow, right, and I'm just out. And that is until I took this job. And so what I found is that, you know, I actually do wake up with story ideas, or I wake up with, you know, I'll be thinking about a way to do a story before I go to sleep, and you know, I'll be tossing and turning in and out of consciousness in the middle of the night, thinking about how to do it or how to cast it, or I'll have dreams about wacky stories that, you know, just that are variations of things that are actually going on in the news. So yeah, to me, it's not necessarily a wake up and I just have to get online. But I do find myself, you know, thinking about stories and how to write new things for sure. Which is kind of a curse, you know, because I'm getting less sleep these days.
Well, there's a lot to report on these days, and one of the things that is going to be that will be getting a lot of headlines soon is the presidential election, because the general election this year is not that exciting. I mean, obviously, there's some of the races and things like that, but the meat of the future of the country will come next year, with a lot of senators, Democrat, Republican, more Democrats being up for re-election, including a lot of swing states that have guys like Joe Manchin, who just got elected last year in a special election. So it's going to be very interesting. But, of course, then we have the Kahuna battle, which could be Governor Chris Christie, Governor Mitch Daniels, Herman Cain. Could be any one of these guys going against Obama. And I don't know if Biden will be there with him. A lot of people that like comedy want Biden there because obviously he provides a lot of, at least when he's awake, he provides a lot of good comedy for us. But who do you see? I mean, the Republicans just had their first debate last week, and a lot of the big names did not show up. including Newt Gingrich, who just announced, I think via Facebook, in Georgia, that he was going to be running. And that's not really a surprise, but who do you see right now that you like, or do you not see anybody yet that you would like to run?
You know, I was sitting with a friend talking about this last night, and you know, I'll be honest, Alex, I do not see anyone right now that I would that I can get excited about. I just really can't, you know. I think that presidential debate, if you can call it that, you know, was a dud. You know, I mean, if there was that one pack of fireworks you get on the 4th of July that just nothing happens. There's really no one I feel like I can get excited about right now. I actually tend to agree with Ann Coulter's statement back near the CPAC conference where she said, if Republicans have a chance of winning back, you know, the White House in 2012, it has to be Chris Christie. And I'm kind of that persuasion. I like Governor Christie, I'm familiar with some of the people that have been in his administration, and you know, from everything I hear about this guy, he's kind of the GOP's only hope. If you look at the field right now, I don't think Newt Gingrich is a viable candidate. I don't think Ron Paul is a viable candidate. Obviously, Donald Trump is not is. If there's anything the opposite of a viable candidate, he's it. But yeah, there's really just no one that's standing out to me, and I think that's unfortunate in some senses right now. But it's also, you got to think it's early, you know. And once this, I think the field will shape up this summer, and there'll be some people who throw their hat in the ring. But again, I mean, I think Chris Christie is the Republicans' best hope, and I hope that he, for the sake of a really good campaign, will decide to run, because I think it's the only thing that will make the 2012 campaign interesting. Because right now, if you put someone like Ron Paul up against Barack Obama, you know, and that's not necessarily talking about Ron Paul as a person, but I just don't think that his politics have no way of attracting, you know, the electoral college to get him in the White House.
Well, we're still waiting on Mitch Daniels. I think Governor Christie will run at the end of the day. I think it would behoove him and the Republican Party as a whole to push him, just because he is from a blue state, and he does have a big platform. New Jersey's very heavily populated state, as you know, now living in New York, although it is called the armpit of the nation. It is highly populated. And there's a lot of thought out there, my thoughts included in this, that if he were to run, I think he could actually carry New York, because New Yorkers who support him, and Governor Cuomo now is taking a lot of hits, a lot of tips from him, it would seem, the way he's going about his budget deals. And he's not ruffling as many feathers, which, you know, he can, because it's a very blue state, and he's a Democrat. But he has done a lot of the right things so far, and he has used the Governor Christie, he has used Governor Christie's template. I don't know if you would agree to that, would you?
When Cuomo first was elected, I think, you know, he was saying some things during the campaign that were actually to that effect. You know, living here, in New York, we were kind of inundated with that, and I was kind of, I was skeptical, obviously. Given his, you know, his bloodline and you know, what some of the other positions he had. But you're right, I have been surprised at what he's, the positions that he's actually taken. Well, you know, I think he's going to be a good example, I think, of some of these Democratic governors who get into office and they say, listen, these pension fiasco is actually really ridiculous, and you know, these budgets are really a disaster. And so it's not just, you know, people, governors like Scott Walker in Wisconsin who you know, people say, well, he's just doing that because he's a Republican, you know. But then you got people, you know, like Cuomo who are making similar tough choices and are Democrats, And so you can't just write that off as, you know, well, this is just, you know, Republican union bashing or you know, that kind of thing. But, you know, going back to what you said about Christie, I actually think it's interesting that, you know, I think he's been losing some popularity in the polls in New Jersey, which if he does decide to run, I think could actually boost his chances, you know, because he could play it off in the sense of, listen, I am making tough choices. And when you make tough choices, it doesn't always make you popular with your state, you know, as we've seen with a lot of these states and governors. And so, you know, I think that could actually end up helping him.
Well, I think without a doubt he could carry that state, and even if he would not win the general presidential election, if he still had his name in the ring for New Jersey governor, I think that would assure him the re-election there, even though he is, as he said, he's running and governing as a one-term guy, which is how I feel every politician should run and govern, because it should not be a career for you. You want to do it as public service, and that's it. It's not like being a sanitation worker. You're deciding, you know, not against sanitation workers, but you're changing the way people live, the way they go about themselves, the way they smoke in the bar, Mayor Bloomberg. Not that I smoke, but I don't think people should be limited to it. And for the sake of my ego, I want to thank you for agreeing with me to that extent. But, you know, Chris Christie has gotten a lot of flack from a lot of conservatives. Mark Levin, for one, has really hammered him, a couple other guys, just because the issue of, you know, social issues and things like that, and, you know, terrorism and, you know, not calling out Muslims and Muslim extremists and things like that. But at the end of the day, what's really troubling us right now, and I don't want to take any attention away from Muslim extremists or any kind of fundamentalists that want to damage our nation, but if our biggest debt, and as our founding fathers have warned us about, our biggest problem will always be from the inside, and that will be the rapacious politicians that continue to rack up debt and continue to pass the buck on to the taxpayers, because there's nobody that's going to bail out America. I mean, I don't think anybody in the world has $14 trillion to just dish out. IMF certainly doesn't have it. If we're printing it and giving it to them, nobody else has it. So it's interesting. It's going to be interesting to see how everything shapes up. Of course, I want to have you on again down the road to talk more about it. I know the Blaze is going to have a lot of good stuff coming out. John,
for sure.
Seidel, thank you so much. Keep up the great work. Keep expanding and keep growing, and I have no doubt that you will.
Well, thank you so much, and I appreciate it giving us some airtime, and you know, hopefully some of your listeners will become loyal readers of The Blaze.
It's a pleasure to have you on once again. Thank you so much, Sean.
Yep.
Bye. Bye.